the EPA targets, Elaine, we heard about them today. It was pretty grim reading from anybody read. I think there was, you know, Eamon Ryan was out saying that maybe they hadn't considered all of the measures that had been announced since. But as the upfront case for an analysis of missing environmental targets on climate change, it wasn't encouraging.
Yes, and I think not only will we not be reducing our targets to the level that we need to across basically every sector, it was interesting in the land use sector, the EPA was saying that perhaps emissions may go up because as forestries come to the peak and are cut down, they will release carbon emissions. Now, obviously, we do have the rewetting of bogs, the investment in renewals that may counteract some of that. But it's all very worrying. And I think Eamon Ryan was out today saying that we will have a huge challenge. He still thinks it's possible to meet the targets. He's disagreeing with the EPA on that one, but says it will be an uphill challenge. He did mention a number of supports and grants and schemes that have been rolled out, especially for farmers, solar panels for businesses that were not announced perhaps when the EPA was carrying out its work and were not taken into consideration. But still, I think it will be a significant challenge if we are going to reduce our emissions by that 51% by 2030.
All right. Paul McAuliffe, the most difficult areas on this seem to be transport in the form of private vehicles and agriculture, and getting buy-in from the people who either work in one or use the other to change behaviours and providing them with the ability to do so.
Yeah, look, I listened to Eamon Ryan today and I hear the case he was making that some of the modelling doesn't reflect the changes that have come in and that will come in. I suppose it is worth looking that even though the shortfall is indicated, in a relatively short period of time over 3 or 4 years, I suppose the policies of the current government have ensured that that there will be a reduction. You know, that there was no certainty around that when this current coalition was put together. So I think the challenge is immense. I accept that, but I think there's an appetite there. I would say though, and you talk to people on the doors, you know,
it's the same appetite there as it was when this government came into office.
No, there isn't. And that's the point I'm making is that, and this isn't about the Green Party, because I would say that, you know, there's lots of parties out there.
We'll get to them in a minute.
There's lots of parties out there that want to tackle climate change, but not all politicians are climate brave, and not all people who vote are climate brave. My worry in this election and as we come to the general election is that there are parties out there giving simplistic answers on climate action. And look, you only have to point to parties who don't want to see the carbon tax, for example, on fuel, which is a really unpopular measure, but it is needed if we're going to meet our challenges. So that is my worry, is that this government has done an immense amount in some places. And my colleagues in rural Ireland would say that some of the measures we've taken on climate change have been unpopular. But governments, like no matter who is in government, we are going to have to take these measures.
All right. What did you make, Thomas Gould, of what the EPA had to say? And what's the big idea to achieve big cuts in emissions?
Well, I suppose the EPA report has outlined that the government will not hit their targets. You know, it's very obvious. We've been saying that. Paul just referenced there in relation to the carbon tax. And obviously, we've opposed the increases over the last couple of years. And what this report has shown is that by taxing ordinary people, vulnerable people, people on low and middle incomes, it's made no difference. But it has to those people and their standard of living and their lives. Like, a lot of people have really struggled over the last number of years in relation to the cost of living crisis.
All right,
and then we went away and we charged them more. And even this year, then the government is putting the VAT back onto people. Like, there has to be a just transition. Otherwise, you won't get people to buy in. And even simple things now. In Cork at the moment, the bus service is in disarray, right? How are we going to get people out of cars if we can't get them to buses that actually run in time? The big issue now at the moment is a thing called ghost buses. I'd never heard of it up to 2 years ago, where people are standing, looking at their app, waiting for a bus to come that never appears.
I'm not sure if it was intentional or not, but I think, Thomas, one of the first things you said is the government has missed its targets. And I think that's where the real issue is here, because this is way beyond the government. This is way beyond the opposition. This is me, you, everyone in this room that is probably doing too much to increase carbon emissions right now, but without the supports from government, so government does have a role to play in this, people are not going to change their habits. They're not going to get on buses that don't exist. They're not going to get on trains that don't exist and go to work. We do see, though, where the government does introduce measures like retrofitting and grants for various, you know, green measures, whether it's solar panels on your roof, people are willing to accept change and are willing to make changes.
If they have the wherewithal to take them up. But Nessa yes. Harrigan, Thomas Gould's point there about the carbon tax being foisted on the shoulders of people who can't bear it, and it's no surprise, therefore, that behaviour is not changing.
I mean, like we just talked about, people being given simple answers that are fairly meaningless. We didn't set up the carbon tax, but when we went into government, we ring-fenced any other changes to the carbon tax to create a fund, which will eventually be 8 billion. And it requires that we put all of money into dealing with cost of living impacts from climate. Those are not all based around the carbon tax. You know, our food is getting more expensive, fuel is getting more expensive, and that does things like mitigate through the fuel allowance. It also provides for a fund for retrofit, and then it provides supports for farmers. Nobody in Sinn Féin ever explains to me, if you're not going to do anything around changing the carbon tax, where are you getting that extra money? That's not a costed proposal that they are ever able to provide an answer on.
Right. Thomas, and I think it's really, to that thing,
yeah,
that's a direct charge against your party.
Okay, well, the first thing we would do is we'd put a levy on anyone earning more than 140,000 and every euro over 140,000.
That won't get anywhere near the money.
Okay, we reckon that'll bring in about 336 million. We'd also put a levy then, or we'd also hit these gold-plated pensions, right? It's typical Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael. It's a pity that the Greens have bought into it. Your people with golden pension funds there, we would certainly come after that.
That won't get anywhere near right. the
Well, that's another 336 okay. million. Okay. And like, we have a list of taxes that would hit the big earners, the people who are making the money out of all
Look,
of this.
Ultimately, the carbon tax is a consumption tax, which means that the people who pay the carbon tax are people with larger homes or two or three cars. And so, therefore, that money is effectively being redistributed to lower income households through things like retrofitting social housing and through things like the fuel allowance. Which, and if you're going to gut that fund and say we don't need that fund anymore, the least you could do is give people surety about where that money is coming from.
Sorry, we're going to get back to the subject of retrofitting in a related topic. Go on after this break.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.